Thank you very much for that introduction. I will try and speak slowly for the benefit of our translator, but it's a pleasure to be here. This is my fourth visit to China over the last few years, and it's always fun to come here and see the changes from year to year and the progress that you are making. So as Mr. Yu just mentioned, I direct the Center for Technology Innovation at the Brookings Institution in Washington, D.C. And there, we focus on how technology can offer benefits both in the areas of healthcare and education. We have research projects on health information technology as well as education technology, and our goal is to try and bring the benefits of technology to each of those policy areas. And as was just mentioned, for those of you who are interested in following our work, we have launched a new blog at Brookings called Tech Tank. You can access it at our website, www.brookings.edu, under blogs. And we have posts every day that review different aspects of the work that we have underway on various aspects of technology. The project I'm going to talk about today is based on a collaboration that we undertook with some experts at the Chinese Academy of Telecommunications Research. I think at your desk you have two versions of a paper that we put out, an English version that we released in the United States, and then this week we are releasing the Chinese version. So we figure our readership should grow by at least 10 times now that we have a Chinese version of our work. But the topic of modernizing healthcare is a big challenge in every country around the world, because modernizing healthcare involves making changes at several different levels. The operations of medical care in terms of hospitals, physicians, nurses, and how they operate. The public policy surrounding healthcare and how we need to develop pro-innovation policies. The regulatory aspects, how governments regulate medical devices and what constitutes a medical device, and then the technology angle we're very interested in just because of the potential for innovation in those areas. In looking at mobile technology in particular, we're seeing a lot of growth taking place in the way in which mobile devices are starting to transform the delivery of healthcare. In terms of doctors in the United States, we're seeing physicians relying on smartphones so that they can access the most up-to-date information on medical care. We see tablets being used to record medical information and to check on drug interactions. That's a big problem in the United States. People take a lot of drugs, and then they end up having interactions across the different medicines that they are taking. We are starting to see the introduction of remote monitoring devices in healthcare. Last year, I visited Beijing, and I went to a medical clinic that focused on patients suffering from various types of heart diseases, and their physicians had deployed remote monitoring devices for those patients. And the patient's vital signs were sent electronically to the physician's office, and they told us that in about 25% of the cases, they found abnormal readings for the patients. And so in those situations, they were able to reach out to the patients, tell them that there was something wrong, and to encourage them to seek medical care. And so this is an example of how mobile technology can help our doctors become more proactive in the delivery of healthcare. Consumers are also using mobile devices in order to access various types of applications. We have applications to count calories, to record the exercise that you do and how many calories you are burning off. I recently joined a gym in Washington, D.C. And as I am exercising, the machine is keeping tab of the miles that I run, the speed at which I operate, and my favorite, the calories that I'm burning in the process. So I can literally see the calories that I burn go from 50 to 100 to 150 to 200, and that helps motivate me to do the exercises. Overall, the global mobile economy now totals about $1.6 trillion. That is due to rise to over $2 trillion by 2017. So we're really seeing the growth of many different aspects of mobile health. There are a number of different benefits of mobile health that we're finding. One is in terms of improving access and affordability. Every country, both China and the United States and other countries around the world, suffer from a rural-urban divide, in which typically people living in urban areas have greater access to physicians and medical facilities than is true for people in rural areas. Mobile devices, video conferencing, and different forms of telemedicine can help bridge those types of geographic divides by bringing high-quality medical care to people who might live some distance from medical facilities. We also are seeing mHealth starting to boost administrative efficiency. Physicians can keep better records, and so this can help us keep a better track of what is going on in the healthcare system. Patients love the mobile experience because they can get real-time information around the clock, not just when their doctor's offices happen to be open. And as Mr. Jin mentioned earlier, mobile health can enable health data collection and analysis through big data. We are moving towards an evidence-based medicine. We need to find out what works and what doesn't work, and mobile technology can help us answer those types of questions in terms of comparative effectiveness. We're already starting to see evaluation studies find a number of benefits for physicians who use mobile devices. We're finding the physicians respond more promptly to reading medical test results. We're also finding they make fewer errors in their medication prescriptions and in their hospital decisions, for example, how they discharge patients. We're also seeing improved data management and record-keeping practices. So there are lots of ways in which mobile devices can make a difference for healthcare providers. Healthcare costs are rising very dramatically in the United States. This year, the United States is expected to spend more than $3.1 trillion on healthcare. That's 18% of our overall gross domestic product. By the year 2021, our healthcare costs in the United States are expected to rise to $4.8 trillion. That'll be almost 20% of our gross domestic product. In conjunction with our colleagues at the Chinese Academy of Telecommunications Research, they compiled these data on rising healthcare costs in China. And you can see a similar story, that just in the last 5 years, healthcare costs in China have more than doubled. So this, the problem of the quality of the care and the cost of the healthcare is a problem in both countries. The aging population is an issue that many countries are experiencing. Right now, about 16% of our population is over the age of 65. By 2040 in the United States, that number, that percentage is expected to grow to about 20%. In China, by 2050, about 33% of your population is expected to be over 65 years old. So this is going to present a lot of challenges for the healthcare systems in both countries in terms of the access of care, the quality of the care, and certainly in terms of the cost of the care. Here's a chart that shows the affordability challenges facing the United States. This shows the average health insurance premiums from 2000 up through 2012. And you can see that the insurance premiums have tripled during this time period. That health insurance costs for a family totaled about $5,700 in 2000. That has now risen to $15,700 during this time period. In China, the percent of the medical costs that people are having to pay out of their own personal pocket has dropped from 49% in 2006 to about 35% in 2011. But it still means that people are having to pay roughly one-third of their costs, according to our colleagues at the Chinese Academy. We see in the United States some major disparities in healthcare insurance by income levels. The top line shows the percent of Americans of high income that have health insurance, and that is about 95%, so virtually all of the people who make a lot of money have health insurance. When you go down to the bottom layers, the people who have either poor incomes or low levels of income, only about 70% of those people have health insurance. So virtually one-third of our low-income recipients in the United States do not have health insurance. So this obviously is a big problem. So the question is, to what extent does mobile technology help us with some of the problems that we have just talked about? We've talked about problems in terms of the access to medical care in rural areas. We've talked about affordability challenges. We've talked about the cost issues, and we've talked about the quality of care. And so here I'm going to talk about a pilot project on the use of mobile health that was undertaken in the United States. It was a project that was undertaken at the Flagstaff Medical Center in Arizona. And this is a medical facility that was focused in particular on heart patients, patients who were suffering from various kinds of heart failure. And this is a part of the country where there are a lot of Native Americans. Many of them are members of the Navajo Indian tribe. And so it's a very poor population. This is a group of people who suffer poor access to medical care. Many of them live 20, 30, or 40 kilometers away from the medical facility, so it's hard for them to get the medical care that they need. And so in this particular project, the project partnered with some healthcare providers as well as with some technology companies to provide remote monitoring devices for each of the patients. So each of the patient was given a device, they took it home, and the device recorded their vital signs, various aspects of their medical condition, and it electronically transmitted that information to the physicians at the Flagstaff Medical Center. And we already have seen some very positive results out of this type of situation. First of all, the patients were found to be much more engaged in their medical care. In the United States, one of the best predictors of the effectiveness of medical care is how the patient responds. Like if the patient is very engaged in the medical care, takes the medical advice seriously, you know, watches their diet, engages in exercise, you know, does the various things that we know promotes health care, that goes a long way towards improving the quality of the medical care. And so just by giving them the remote monitoring devices, and they knew that their vital signs were being sent to their physician every day, that encouraged them to pay more attention to their medical care and to take better care of themselves. We also found in terms of the degree of hospitalizations that there was a dramatic improvement just in the number of hospitalizations. The average patient enrolled in this program prior to the use of the remote monitoring devices had an average of 3.26 hospitalizations per patient. After enrollment, this dropped to 1.82 hospitalizations. We saw that the number of days that each patient was hospitalized changed from almost 14 days to 5 days. And so there's a dramatic reduction in the number of days that they spent in the hospital. And because of that, the total cost of the hospitalization dropped dramatically from over $136,000 per patient to about $43,000 per patient. So in a lot of respects, we found that from this pilot project, we saw very promising results in terms of the use of the mobile technology. Our colleagues at the Chinese Academy undertook similar research on the wireless heart health program that has been implemented in a few places in China, and they also have found some positive results. They found 96 community doctors who were using the system. They found that over 11,000 patients benefited from the wireless heart health program. And they found that about 10% of their patients ended up having abnormal readings that led to them being referred to a clinic for additional medical care. And we know that in many cases of illnesses and diseases, early intervention matters. So if you can get help early, it makes a big difference. You end up with better results. So in both the United States and in China, we're seeing some positive developments that are encouraging us to continue the experimentation and try and figure out the ways to get the benefits of mobile technology. In both countries, I would conclude by saying mobile health is still in its infancy. There still are many opportunities. This is a big growth area, but there are a number of challenges that need to be overcome. The market remains small. Mobile services are not widely accepted in either places. The percentage of hospitals that are using them, the percentage of physicians that are using them, and the percentage of consumers that are using them still are relatively low. But the usage levels are starting to grow, and we're expecting them to grow substantially in the future. What we need to overcome are some of the policy and legal barriers to the adoption of mobile technology. Physicians, for example, in the United States still do not get reimbursed through insurance programs for treating patients through mobile devices. And so it's hard for usage levels to rise when physicians don't get paid for delivering health care through this system. There's uncertainty about regulation. And to what degree are mobile applications considered medical devices and therefore subject to federal regulation, or are they consumer applications that need not be regulated? And then the last challenge is really just the impact of Obama's healthcare reform and how that's going to affect the future of mobile health. Obama is trying to encourage more people to get health insurance. We're expecting the percent of Americans having health insurance to rise from what now is about 82% to well over 90%. We're expecting much greater use of health information technology in the United States, and we also are putting much greater emphasis on preventive health care in hopes that that will help slow the growth of health care costs in the United States. So thank you very much, and I look forward to hearing the other speakers who are going to talk about other aspects of healthcare. Thank you.